Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 151 for Friday, September 20th, 2013. We are brought to you this week by the miracle of modern transportation. I will explain in a second, since we talked about how bad it can be last week. I'm Phil Nickinson, as the little sign down there says. I am the host of this show and editor of AndroidCentral.com. And with us this week, we have, well, we have everybody, actually. Start to my left, and let's see if I do this right. Got it. Jerry Hildenbrand.
Hey, 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 people, what's happening?
You should throw
it
to Andrew.
Let me see if I can do it. Boom.
Can you throw it to Andrew? Nope.
Oh, you got it wrong.
Doggone it.
This doesn't work too well in the recorded version, but we're pointing at the person next to us on that.
No, yeah.
Andrew Martinick.
How's it going, everybody? And...
Oh! Andrew failed.
It doesn't work very well.
It doesn't.
It's magic, and we're muggles.
Say hi, Alex.
Hi. Hi. How you doing?
I'm all right. So, yeah, I'm home. Was it last week we were talking about the trials and tribulations of getting to and from Berlin, I think?
Yep.
Was that like a month ago? I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Today I've been to Atlanta and back already. So I just wanted to give props where props are deserved. The fine folks at Delta for getting me home again.
Oh, see, I thought maybe Lieutenant Uhura did the little levers and...
That would be kind of much more awesome if that's how it worked. But no, quick hop to Atlanta and back today. And we still have time to podcast. So, awesome. There's a giant something flying around my room. So, what's going on? We're trying to decide if we're going to do a podcast this week, and we're like, well, it's kind of slow, but kind of not slow. I don't know.
We got some good stuff.
Do you want to start with the non-Android stuff first and just get it out of the way?
Yeah.
There's been non-Android stuff today?
Yeah, a little bit. So, iPhones are out. I don't know. Any of you guys get them? I haven't gotten one yet. I probably will at some point just to have. But I tell you what, I mean, I think a new iPhone's a big deal just because it is, right? I'm kind of excited for them just for getting a new home button. Like, I'm excited to see that new home button because the old one was just old and it's basically original, right?
I don't want a home button.
I'm the only one. Well, and then I was looking at the pictures, and I'm like, holy God, that's a lot of bezel down there at the bottom, all because of that home button. And probably not all because of the home button.
We'll talk about bezels later, Phil.
Yes.
We'll talk about bezels later.
That was the point of my little segue there. Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to try it. I'm interested to see the 5C, since they're going color. And I mean, otherwise, it's the same.
A famous man once told me plastic phones are junk, dead on arrival.
Well... Some are, some aren't. How about that?
Right. Hey, you know what? I'll probably end up with one because my 4 is long in the tooth. It won't run the latest version, and if I want to know what I'm talking about, I need to have one. But I'm going to get the plastic.
Have you not used iOS 7 yet?
No.
You can get it on the 4, can't you? Does it just run like crap on the 4?
Well, yeah. It will load on the 4, and then... You wish it didn't.
It pretty much gets iOS, like iOS 6 with the iOS 7 skin. It doesn't get any new features or anything like that.
And it's just horribly slow and buggy and erratic. So I just turned it off.
I'm surprised how nice the 5C looks. We've seen some pictures on iMore today of when I picked up the Hulk Green one. And it looks like a nice, well-built phone.
T-Mobile wants me to buy one bad. They've texted me like 6 times today to let me know they're available.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, because my wife just got a text, too, and like she wasn't sure what it was, but that makes sense now.
Huh. The subject, you know, I don't know how they can send texts with a subject line, and you can't read anything further, but it says, did you know? With a question mark, and I'm like, I probably did, but I'll read it anyway. Sure enough.
So, yeah, there's the iPhone. I guess the other big news today is the BlackBerry's all but gone under, right?
Mm-hmm.
$1 billion loss. They've laid off 4,500 people, like 40% of the company. And you know, I mean, we can joke about BlackBerry sucking and being done or whatever. But for me, and part of it's personal, but that's a big deal. That's a bunch of people losing jobs, guys. And there's really nothing funny about that. I mean, BlackBerry is not done as a company, I guess. But look, nobody's buying the phones. BBM's coming out this weekend on Android. It just leaked out right now, actually. So if you want to give it a shot before Saturday, you can. But I don't know, guys. I mean, it's tough. It's real tough.
It's a necessary adjustment that has to happen when they held on for so long, you know, and held out for the launches this year and hoped that that would kind of pick things up. And when it doesn't, it's unfortunate, but it's what has to happen. They can't just keep throwing money into a pit with all these extra employees. So, you know, you have to have an employee base that backs up your sales.
I'm hoping that this turns out to be good in the long run. Let BlackBerry refocus on what RIM did really good.
The services.
Services, corporate email. You know, BlackBerry is a company kind of drifted away from that to compete with Android and Microsoft and Apple. And, you know, their services side kind of got put on the back burner. At least that's the way I felt. And, you know, I'm an Android fan to the bone, but nobody can match BlackBerry when it comes to corporate email, period. So focus on that. Sell me a cheap curve again so I can get my email and not care what happens to the phone if I drop it.
And that's always kind of been one of the bigger complaints from business type people about Android, right? Is like especially when you talk about what's built in, like there's no good built-in corporate email. HTC makes a big deal about that. Mm-hmm. Samsung makes a big deal about that. You know, K9 and Touchdown have always done it better than stock Android has. So could you see like what would you call it, BlackBerry Mail for Android?
Ooh, you see that I would love to see, and I'm going to use Samsung as an example, but Samsung is just an example here. Samsung pick up, you know, a way to build BlackBerry secure email services into TouchWiz, or HTC do it into Sense. Somebody, that would be a huge score. You know, maybe even virtualize it so you can have two logins on the same phone. You can have your company email in the daytime, and at night you can log in differently. And
well, and that's what's going on with Samsung has it with Safe and Knox, and yep. Just totally forgot the name of it on BlackBerry. It's BlackBerry, somebody help me on the chat room. BlackBerry Balance, yes, and exactly that.
So
I mean, we're getting there.
Yep. And we need BlackBerry.
Yeah, it's weird because I haven't had to deal with that sort of corporate firewall in a long time. I mean, we have separate accounts here, but they're all still Gmail accounts. You know, they're all still Google accounts, and they all work exactly the same. So, you know, anytime somebody wants to remind me that the world works differently, please do, because it does.
My wife's still on a big Exchange program, and
it'll
work on anything. It works fine on her HTC One, but you have to set it up, and you had to make phone calls. The BlackBerry, you just go to the website that they use, AT&T, log in, click, done.
Gotcha. So, I mean, that's BlackBerry. It's not good. And, you know, thoughts go out to everybody affected by it, because that ain't fun. I don't know. Is that all the non-Android stuff? I think that's all the non-Android stuff.
Mm-hmm. Apple TV, they got a big update.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, they got, what, all the iTunes Radio stuff, and what else?
I think that's the highlight right there. I mean,
I need to get one. I just haven't picked one up, especially since Chromecast came out. I haven't been, you know, that enticed to do it. But is Alex there? Is Alex even moving? Somebody poke him.
I'm here, Phil. Hi, how you doing?
Just checking. I think you're standing very still. Okay, now I'm done with all the non-Android stuff. So what Android stuff would you guys like to talk about this week?
Nexus 7.
Yeah, you want to start with that?
Specifically AT&T and the LTE and then Verizon.
All right, back up. Let's split this off. Start with Verizon. Jerry, tell us the backstory. What's going on with Verizon? Why is it a big deal?
You know, it's not really as big a deal as we think it is, but it's a deal that gets everybody's blood boiling. Google announced the Nexus 7 LTE is working on AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon. T-Mobile and Verizon, you throw your SIM card in it, activate it, it works just fine. On Verizon, if you have a SIM card, stick it in it, turn it on, go, it works just great. But they won't sell you a SIM card or activate it for you in the store because they say it hasn't met their rigorous testing procedures yet. They've had 3 months? That's a crock. If you want to test it, by all means, test it, but you've had 3 months.
And more the point that they were saying one SKU working on all three networks. They were saying that the figure that Verizon gave was 4 to 6 weeks for testing. It's been 4 to 6 weeks since this thing was announced. They should at least have had it since then.
Agreed.
That's what seemed more odd to me. I mean, I get that Verizon's going to test stuff. That's what they do. And they're going to test things until they're happy with it. It was just the disconnect between Hugo Bear standing in front of everybody in San Francisco and saying, it's going to work on Verizon. And then we get it, it's out, and it doesn't work on Verizon.
And when he was saying that, they had to believe that was the truth. They would have never said it without some sort of reason.
And if you have an activated Verizon SIM, it will work, right?
Yep.
It's just the activation that's the problem.
Getting it activated is the problem. It's going to happen soon, I think. And look, I completely agree that we all need to be a little mad at Verizon about this. I don't know that we need to go nuclear on them, at least any more than we have for other reasons. But
if you want to go nuclear, let's wait and see until somebody that is an actual lawyer and not just somebody on the internet decides if they are breaking the rules of the C block agreement, the auction agreement.
It's pretty clear that they are, though, right?
Well, they've got a lot of legal loopholes in there.
I mean, the one quote that everybody. The one quote that everybody brings out is that, you know, something like, well, I say that now, I totally forget what it is. reasonable, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's some qualification in there.
Right.
Except for
if it negatively affects the network or whatever. And Verizon can say that they're worried that it will if it doesn't go through all the testing. So that's why they're going to say testing. But 4 to 6 weeks to test a device that doesn't even use CDMA, just two bands of LTE on their network is completely nuts.
Agreed.
I mean, you got to know that they're going to be prioritizing stuff. Yeah, they're going to have a limited resource when it comes to getting devices testing on their network. And if it's not a device they're selling themselves, that's going to be pretty far down the list.
Oh, of course. You know what their limited resources for tablets getting tested all go to one 7.9-inch one with a piece of fruit in the back.
Well, but that came out several months ago. They have no other
new version they had to test.
They could have tested this one before. So it's been at least 6 weeks since this was announced. There's no reason why Verizon and Google couldn't have worked on this before it was announced either.
To me, that's the bigger thing. Like, why? Mm-hmm. Really? Mm-hmm. They couldn't get that figured out before? I don't know. It's just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And I get that people are upset. Alex is over there laughing at us because in Europe, you put SIM cards in things and they just work.
Pretty much, And it's actually out in Europe as well. We got it this week as well.
It does that here in the United States, too, except for Sprint and Verizon. So, if we just pretend they don't exist.
Well, yes and no, though. So let's move to AT&T. There have been a number of threads. We've got a bunch. XDA's got a bunch. You know, we've gotten emails over the past week of people who cannot tether using the Nexus 7 with an AT&T SIM. You pop it in, and it works. You get LTE, everything works. It's just grayed out in the options. And supposedly it's the framework APK is where all that lives, and it just no longer works. So here's what I did. I actually have, I don't have the box over there. I have an LTE Nexus 7 here that was sitting in the box. I was going to give it away. And I opened it up. I turned it on. I popped in my AT&T SIM. Here, let's see if I don't have the... Oh, no, I got a T-Mobile SIM in there right now. And it tethers just fine. I have not updated it yet, and I have a feeling I have emails out to official people, so I'm trying to figure out what's going on officially, right? But unofficially, this thing is on build JSS-15J, and I have not updated it. In fact, if you see here, it'll say system update downloaded, and it's waiting to install it. I've not installed any updates. That's what came on here. And that was some great English there. And it tethers just fine. I've done it. I've got it on video. If I get 5 minutes and some answers, I will show you. But it tethers fine. So somewhere along the way, tethering got turned off, whether it was intentionally or unintentionally, I don't know. And I'm not going to start screaming until I know. But I do know, you know, physically, it's perfectly capable of tethering, and it works fine. I can't imagine. I mean, if AT&T did something to screw this up, I'm going to be pretty pissed, because you can tether with an iPad just fine, right?
Yep.
I'll bet that the code, you know, with a phone, you can't tether on AT&T, correct?
For free. Sure you can.
No, oh, yeah, you can.
It's yeah, part of the,
all, okay. As long as you're on a tiered data plan, they unlock it.
I got rid of my unlimited data plan so I could tether.
Verizon the same way.
So we're thinking this is a net. Obviously, we don't know, but can you tether on Timo on the new software version? Do we know?
On the new software,
nobody has complained. So I'm going to assume you can.
I'll do some more testing when I can do some more testing. I mean, what I need to do is, and I just haven't had time because I've been running around the past 2 days, is I need to back up this version, you know, with the clockwork or whatever. Back it up, install the new version, see if it tethers, and see what versions we're talking about. I'm pretty sure that's what's going to break it, though. So I'm not in a huge hurry to do it. Yeah, it's just weird. I mean, I don't know. I don't know who to be upset about at this point, or if it's just a mistake or what. So, well, sucks. You need to be able to tether. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, pay for that on your account. You should be able to tether.
Right.
Everybody agrees?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else on Nexus 7? We got that weird little update that's coming out that nobody really knows what it does. I haven't gotten it on my Wi-Fi yet.
I haven't gotten it either, but I think Jerry has.
Yeah, I've got it. And
doesn't I think do anything,
my,
right?
I think it made my touch worse.
That's what, yeah. I mean, so, yeah.
And join back to his own hangout.
Excellent.
What was that all about?
We can't hear him.
How about now?
There you go.
Now we can hear you.
That was weird.
There was a button that flashed on my screen that said, do not press, and...
We'll have to see what that did to the recording. That'll be interesting. So, yeah, Nexus 7, we'll see. I don't know. What's next?
We got new devices. We got quite a few new devices, actually.
No.
And I have one right here. So it's the Xperia Z1. It's just come out in Europe. It's nice. It's, I mean, you look at the front, you look at the back, it's pretty much the spitting image of the original Z, right? It looks, it's got glass in the front, glass in the back, and this sort of textured trim around the outside. It's very different to sort of hold and use. And part of that's down to the fact that the thing that you're touching most, this band around the outside, is aluminium, not soft touch plastic. So it's curved a little bit more than the last one. It's a little bit easier to hold on to, but that's kind of mitigated by the fact that this thing has gigantic bezels. And Philly used it in Germany, and you can tell, you know, let's just turn it on for a second.
Like, it's a really nice big phone.
Yeah.
But good lord, those bezels.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Like iPhone, you could put an iPhone button down at the bottom of that.
Probably, yeah. You could. Actually, you could put an AT&T logo at the bottom. How about that?
Put like 10 Verizon logos.
Don't give them ideas. So, I mean, I like this, but it's, I mean, Sony's made big strides forward, but it's still making the same kind of dumb mistakes in a lot of areas. It's, I mean, aside from the fact that this thing is just a gigantic phone, you got bezels, which makes it's more difficult to type on because you've got to reach all the way across on your thumb, and you've got this space down here that does nothing but make it more difficult to reach the screen. The other side of it is you still have these fixed screen protectors, which Andrew hates and pretty a lot of people who use Sony phones hate because you have a glass front and a glass back.
It's, I don't know what's wrong with you if you don't hate those screen protectors.
It's yeah, I've yet to get a firm answer out of anyone at Sony as to why they do that, because they're the only manufacturer that does. Presumably is to protect the screen, right, in some form. But it just means it scratches more easily than the normal Gorilla Glass or whatever. It gunks up more easily, attracts more fingerprints, and it means it just collects dust, and you end up with this lovely glass phone that just is a giant fingerprint magnet.
I mean, it's nice. The bezels are killer for me.
Yeah.
I mean, the dimensions are just huge on the thing.
Yeah.
Are we getting in the States? Probably at some point. Nothing's been announced.
Okay.
I mean, this is the other thing with Sony, that the US will get it probably like 4 months later when it's no longer relevant.
9 months after we all stopped caring about it.
It's a shame. They're selling the Z now in the US and not this, and that's crazy. I mean, this is in every way a huge improvement over the Z. It's not perfect. Yep. There's some weirdness with the software. The camera is good in a lot of ways, but kind of weird and janky in some others. It's incredibly fast. It's Snapdragon 800. Used any phone with that chip, you'll know it's just, you know, not even a hint of lag in anywhere in the UI, which is nice. That wasn't necessarily the case on the Z. It's definitely the nicest Sony phone I've used. It's deserving a place on the list of, I think your last editor's desk thing, Phil, had a list of all these great phones we have now. I definitely put this on that list. But at the same time, you have all these frustrating issues that become common to Sony phones.
But you do have a really cool camera lens you can stick on it.
Yes. You could do that on any phone. But yeah, you have right. The actual case for this, don't you?
Yeah, you can clip it on. Price this week and, for about $30, maybe yeah. 35, close to 40 pounds, I think. Maybe not quite that much.
Pounds or dollars?
Well, no, it was $29, and I didn't do the math on the other.
Okay.
So. That's still a lot.
Yes.
Especially, I'd pay $29 for it.
I think that's all. I wouldn't pay any more than that because it really is just this really thin plastic shell that fits on it and lets you click the lens into it. It's not necessary is that phone too big for the – have you tried it, Alex?
Is it too big for what?
Oh, you don't have it, do you? Richard's got it.
I've got it.
It
shouldn't be too big.
Anything bigger than the Optimus G is not going to do it.
That's
its limit. It won't open any further.
That's crazy if they release this and it's too big for the QX10.
$29.99, man.
I don't have a Note 2 here, but I have a Note 1, and after we're done, I'm going to try that.
Yeah,
I'll have to measure how wide this thing actually is. It's probably not
5 feet.
Yeah.
So the G2, LG G2 is available now in the States on... I think Timo has it out too. Verizon and AT&T definitely. Sprint's getting it soon, in a few weeks.
Public service announcement. I found out last night while we're talking about it.
What's that?
If you have one of those docks, a desk dock or a car dock or whatever, that has the green clingy pad that holds the phone, don't put your G2 on it.
Ooh, why?
Because when you pull the phone off, the button stays behind.
Really?
Oh,
really?
It's you have a picture of it?
No.
Oh.
The only thing I had to take a picture of was the phone itself. But it snaps right back in. But that was a scary, 30 seconds. I'm like, holy shit! I broke AT&T's phone.
Do it again and get some pictures of it.
Okay.
Seriously, that's important.
That's pretty crazy. Which dock exactly is that?
It's Klingo, a car dock.
It's a super stick'em dock.
They've got these big, thick, green, sticky... I love the dock, but not for this phone.
That's a lot of people use those like in their cars, too, so that's good to know. So what do you guys... I want to hear from you and Andrew and see what you guys think after using these for a week, and you're going to have your reviews up shortly, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, come on,
Andrew.
How dare you use the phone before reviewing it? So, Andrew, what are you thinking of this guy? Have you guys read the Gizmodo review that went up, I think it was yesterday?
I don't read reviews until I write my own.
It is a work of art. Else's. It is a work of art of hating a smartphone. And there's a lot of it I disagree with, and there's a lot of it I agree with. But, man, it was a good read.
Well,
So, Andrew, where do you stand on this guy?
So I've had it for just about a week now, I guess, and just carrying it around, primary device, and I can't get used to the back buttons. It's just not possible for me. It just doesn't, doesn't work.
By which you mean the buttons on the back and not the back button.
Right, well, those on-screen buttons are a different thing. But yeah, having the buttons on the back, I don't know if it's the size of my hand or just the way that I need to move my hand to get to the buttons, but you never have a good feeling for which button your finger's on back there, because it's all just one strip, and there's no separate, you know, maybe if they were separated and there was the volume keys on one side or something and the power on the other, but when more often than not, I have to flip the phone over and look at the back and hit the power button to turn it off, it's, you've completely failed because it's just the wrong way to do it. No, but you do.
You're forgetting. No.
Yes. So knock on, knock off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do it on the top status bar or an empty spot on the home screen. So if you don't have any empty spots in your home screen, you're going to be launching an app when you try to turn off your phone.
Right.
Well, uninstall some apps.
You have a status bar. Why don't you use that?
But I have a giant phone with a 5.2-inch screen that I have to go like this to hit the top of the phone.
Oh, you're a big guy. You can do it.
No, but that's the thing. I've got big hands. I can handle a big phone just fine. But having to reach to the top of the screen, you know, there's a reason why manufacturers put the power button and the volume buttons on the side of the phone.
It's like I was saying in Germany. It's a problem. It's a solution to a problem that doesn't really exist.
Right.
The solution to making a volume or power button easier to hit is to just move it further down.
It doesn't bother me nearly
so
much.
Yeah.
Right, so it just bothers me simply because knock on, knock off doesn't work 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm. There's that
and
as well.
As soon as it doesn't work 100% of the time, it might as well not work at all. And then you start leaning back towards hitting the actual physical power button, which again doesn't really work. And then the volume is less so, right? You don't change the volume as often. And when you're playing media, it gives you a little volume slider in the notification bar. But it's just extra steps and extra stuff. You know, I shouldn't need a volume slider in the notification bar. I should just have volume keys on the side where they should be and your thumb naturally lands on.
So we should mention you're using the Verizon version, which actually has slightly different buttons on the back.
Right.
Yep.
Do you think
they might be a little narrower, a little smaller, but
from here they look pretty similar.
It definitely feels different. I've had both of them here, and it's not grossly different. The idea is still the same, but yeah, it's you're going from something that's much wider to something that's much skinnier.
Yeah, these ones are skinnier, more flush on the back.
Yeah, so I totally get what you're saying by missing the. By not being able to tell which one you're on.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry?
I don't have any problems knowing which one is which.
Yeah.
And I'll bet it's because yours are narrow and made of different material.
Yeah, the power button, I don't know, it's really hard to see, but it's just the power button is small on the Verizon version, and it's narrow.
On the AT&T version, the power button is made of a different material.
Right, and you can see mine aren't nearly as wide as the camera pod is on the other versions. So it might be very tied to the Verizon version, but I don't see it being drastically better if the buttons were just 30% wider.
I just think you hate freedom.
Right. Well,
I'm impressed
by choosing a different device. So
I'm impressed by how many people love the hell out of this phone, especially for being different and kind of weird. It's certainly got a following. Jerry, where do you stand on it?
I do not like the buttons on the back, but I can operate them. I don't have any problems with it. It's just not where I reach for buttons on a phone. I probably get used to it, you know, if I use this for too much longer. Two things with it. Number one, I have never seen a device that'll move through home screens this fast.
I know, right?
And this fluid. That is amazing. But then the rest of the phone, the Snapdragon 800 didn't wow me like I wanted it to. It's nice. It's fast. There is absolutely nothing wrong with it. There's nary a lag, nary a stutter. But it's not anything faster than we haven't seen on a couple other phones. And when I sit and think of it, once you reach that point, where you're not going to notice any improvements, and maybe we're there on a few things, and there's just not anything for me to notice, and I expected something that can't be done. But there's nothing I can say I don't like about this phone.
The software, to me, is still just a mess.
Mm-hmm. You know what? If you used it every day, and you took the time to pare it down and hide a bunch of stuff and set it up the way you like it, it's not that bad.
Which you shouldn't have to do.
Right.
And I'm not a note taker at all, so like all the QMOMO stuff to me is just...
Oh, yeah. All that... after I used it, it's all hidden, gone. You know.
Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't have to. I say you shouldn't have to hide stuff to make it hide, you know, to make phones use them.
You know what? I will take that back. There is one thing that really does bug me.
What's and that?
That's those horrible status icons for Bluetooth, NFC, and vibration. They are just LG. Those are ugly, man. They're really, really ugly. Copy Samsung's, if nothing else. Do something.
Again, I go back to, you know, I wonder how much of this is just an Asian design thing, and like, they're designing it from a Korean standpoint for a Korean audience, and the rest of us are just kind of using it. I don't know. I kind of tried to ask them that when I was there last year and didn't really get an answer. I like it. It's not... The back button, you know, the buttons on the back are what they are. For me, the bigger deal is the stupid on-screen buttons. They just drive me nuts. Like, why? And we talked about this last
that's
week.
That's probably the most frustrating part of the software for me. Aside, like, I can agree with Jerry that once you turn off a lot of the stuff, there's just a couple cosmetic changes that, you know, everything else works the way you want it to. But the on-screen buttons and the menu key just throws me off way too much.
I can make the rest of the phone, like, I set up all my phones the same way, right? And I turn it into, you know, the same home screen, the same layout and everything. Completely usable. Knock on, there's, you know, that super secret HTC thing I'm part of. There was a fun email thread last week, like, is everybody else double tapping every other phone now? Yeah, we talk about other phones. Like, is everybody else double tapping every, and see, it's not working here. You know, every display on every phone everywhere, like, yes. It's just one of those things, once you do it, you get used to it. I'm doing it on the Moto X. And, you know, I should definitely know better. I tell you, I've been hopping back and forth. I went from the G2 in Berlin. When I got home, I went back to the HTC One to get used to it again. Because we should hopefully get that big update soon here in the States.
Hopefully.
Anytime now. And then I switched back to the Moto X just because I missed the size of it. Mm-hmm. But, oh, the camera. Is so much better on the G2 and in the HTC One. Hey, segue! You guys see what leaked out today?
Which?
Android 4.3 for the Moto X, supposedly.
Oh, it's
a janky build, but the camera is supposedly much better. And again, that goes back to what Puneet has said a number of places, including Threads of Ours, that, yeah, they're working on the camera and they're going to improve it. So, good to see.
While we're still talking about cameras and the G2 really quick, I wanted to talk about how awesome the camera is on this phone. And it's one of the most redeeming qualities of it for me. It takes better pictures than any other phone I've ever used. I can pretty simply say that.
I can agree with that.
And now Jerry's kind of down on smartphone cameras in general the last couple weeks, but
and that's I've come to a realization, especially since Phil sent me this little thingy.
Now, the
Moto X is the best smartphone camera in the world right now. I would imagine the phone in Alex's hands, the image processing, the sensor, is probably every bit as good as this.
I think it's actually the same everything except the length.
The focal length, right. Yeah. And until we can get focal length in our smartphones, the pictures are going to be flat smartphone camera pictures.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that relegates them to strictly social media posts on the internet. I'm not going to take a flat, no depth, no sharp, you know, distinction between the objects you want to focus on and the objects you don't want to focus on down to, you know, the print shop and get an 8x10 printed out of it. So,
well, you say that, Jerry. There are actually a few features on this thing, and the camera on this isn't perfect. It has its own issues. But there are some features on this that are moving in that direction. So the 20.7 megapixel thing on this, but most of the actual photo modes, the scene modes and stuff, are based around shooting oversampled 8 megapixel images.
And I think...
leeway for zooming.
I think with software, they can fix everything that they can't get physically by not having 3 inches between the lens and the sensor. And, you know, I imagine in a few years I won't have anything left to complain about, and then I'll finally be happy. I doubt it. But for now, the Moto X camera's bad. The Nexus 4 camera is kind of bad, but the Nexus 4 is good enough for me. The Moto X, sometimes it's good enough for me, and other times I just like, oh my god.
I want to see what this update does.
Yeah.
Real curious. Real curious. What's next?
Developer editions of the Moto X. Talking about phones.
Why do I want one?
Because you don't have AT&T telling you when you're allowed to get a security update. Period.
True.
The only people worse at that than AT&T are Verizon.
On Verizon, you can get the Droid Max or the Moto X developer edition.
Which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a gut feeling Verizon's never going to offer another Nexus phone. But if they do things like the Droid Max and a developer edition where you can unlock the bootloader, dude, you don't need a Nexus phone.
So they're not doing the regular Droid Ultra as a developer edition?
No, just the Max at this
point. That's pretty revealing right there. just realizing that there's no reason for anyone to buy that phone.
Yeah.
But the GSM version never went up for sale. It was supposed to go up for sale today, and I last checked right before the podcast, and it's not. And that's another big problem, because the day they went on the web, if I had been able to click a button, I would have bought it, no questions asked, because I was excited. I'm a nerd. I've been waiting for it. But now I've had a couple days to think, and I've reasoned with myself, well, just wait and see until you get to try the next Nexus. Make sure that you don't like one better than the other, and then buy the one you like for your phone to carry for the next year. If it had been available, I would have clicked. And they're losing sales by not offering, and maybe it's just a minority, I get that. People don't care, and they just go to AT&T to buy their phone or Verizon or whoever. But I just wish that they, I don't know, I wish they could do something a little bit faster.
And it's a case of time, isn't it?
Yes.
The longer they leave it, the more competition there is. And it's the same with international markets. It's still impossible to get hold of a Moto X outside of North America. And the competition is releasing phones internationally. Any new phone from Samsung, HTC, even LG is going to be coming out in Europe and in parts of Asia. And with the Moto X or any of the new Droids, that's just not an option.
Are we all agreed? Go back to the G2 for a second. We all agree that this is going to be a pretty good platform for the next Nexus, if indeed that's what it is.
Yeah, pretty much. The only thing I would maybe disagree with is the screen size. I think closer to 5 is going to be more ideal for the kind of device Google wants to make than 5.2.
This phone, I'm not going to say it's too big, but it's too big for me.
It's too big for me, too.
Mm.
I prefer a smaller phone. That's not to say, if I had to choose between this and like a Note 2, I would still take this.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
Well, and especially we're talking about 5.2 inches and about the smallest chassis that you're going to see for a while for that screen size. And with on-screen buttons, the overall footprint of the device, really isn't that huge. So if we could take this same proportions and pare it down by a little bit, I think I could be happy with that.
Mm. And we've seen pictures of this, right, from a couple of weeks back, and it does look like a big phone. So maybe it is 5.2. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. Would expect that any time now. I know there have been rumors about October 14th and, was it the KitKat Facebook page in Germany or something, said, yes, it is coming in October. And that was a horrible
Russian
accent.
That's the KitKat Russian page, Phil.
Yes, sorry.
In Soviet Russia, KitKat's you.
I got to stop with the accents. Send email to Jerry at, okay, maybe. I mean, look, October is a perfectly viable time frame because that's when generally about stuff has come out.
These devices are in certification and in the hands of Google's right now. And normally that happens about a month before it goes on sale.
Yeah.
Or a month before it's announced, whatever.
So, I mean, anytime now. That's why I'm not freaking out at all these little leaks and some 4.4 keyboard came out today. It's like, all right, I mean, now what?
That or we've all got one and we're not allowed to talk about it, and Monday it goes on sale.
Oh, stop it. I have nothing. I have nothing. You want to talk about the CyanogenMod thing a little bit? I guess we at least need to mention
it. We need to.
They've gone commercial! They sold out! I think this is kind of cool, actually. So, yeah, they're a company now. And they're going to, you know, they quit their day jobs. And this is what they're doing. And that's awesome. I think it's cool seeing people invest their time and their energy and hopefully getting paid back for it. And I think it's cool seeing investors put money behind it. It takes a hobby and turns it into something different. Now, Jerry, you know, has been walking me through the other side of this and why a lot of people are upset and have concerns about it, and probably rightfully so, right?
Yes, and to be clear, I don't. I think this is a good thing. There are going to be points that I don't like and points that other people don't like. You have that with any type of project. But overall, I really wish them the best and think that, if nothing else, this is going to be one hell of a ride. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, there's already drama about this camera app and whatever. I mean, I don't care about the drama.
Both sides have a very valid point. I wish they could work that out amongst themselves behind closed doors and stay classy, but yeah.
Yeah. You know, don't air dirty laundry. It's not classy. I mean, it's the internet. This is going to happen, I think.
Right.
I'm real curious to see where it goes. Obviously, and this has been kind of obvious for I don't know how long, but Oppo is going to be a hardware partner, and so you're going to see some sort of CM Oppo phone.
Well, no, we can't say for sure yet. Don't.
Well, yeah. You have Steve Kondik teasing an Oppo event.
I'm just trying to...
Yes, come on.
All the things you've taught me, I'm trying to do them, and here you just shoot me down.
I know, that's my job here is done. I teach these guys how to do stuff the right way and hedge, and, well, we don't know. And I'm like, come on, guys, you know.
Yeah, we've known for weeks, damn it. Yeah, it's...
No, I mean, there's going to be an Oppo CM phone. That's pretty obvious. And it's interesting, and... I mean, Andrew, you're the only real Oppo user we've had here. I mean, if you put CM on a hardware from that company, is it going to be good? What's your review now? Don't even wait for it to come out.
I used the Find 5, which I think is one of their latest devices, or it was at the time. I would say of all the issues, the software was the biggest one. So I could see how CM could definitely help out that. Oppo definitely has hardware chops just in terms of build quality, and the internals were good. Not the best hardware ever, in terms of just some things you just learn after making smartphones for years and years that they just haven't really picked up quite yet. But I could definitely see how if CM has a little bit of, they bring a lot of software expertise, and if they can bring a little more of a unified experience, they could say, this is a interesting proposition. I think that they could definitely at least make that point.
And it's going to be really mutually beneficial because you have Oppo, which has shipped devices, which you're saying, okay, the build quality maybe isn't quite there yet, but they've shipped some really high-end internals pretty quickly in these things. I think they have the same... either display or camera that Sony was using in their high-end stuff about a month
earlier. They were using the same camera and a better display, yeah.
Right, so there was that. And if software is somewhere where they're falling down, then obviously you see no software inside out, and of course has probably more brand recognition in the US, I would argue, than Oppo.
I'm really curious to see what happens when you take this, what started as a kind of hacker project, and you thrust them into the same sort of professional ecosystem that the likes of Samsung and HTC and Motorola and everybody else has to live in, and the requirements and the compromise that goes into that. Like, is it still going to be the cool hackery sort of OS, now that it's sold out? And I don't really say sold out like it's a bad thing in that case. But now that they're playing in the same pool as everybody else, is all these uncool manufacturers that, it's fine, whatever, but it's not CM. Is it going to lose some of that luster? I don't know. I'm willing to bet it doesn't, but it's going to be, like Jerry said, it's going to be a hell of a ride. It's going to be really interesting.
I'm sure that they have a lot to they have a lot to learn, and there are a lot of smart people over there that know they have a lot to learn, and mm-hmm. you know, partnering with somebody like Oppo or somebody else is going to teach them a lot of stuff. You know, Oppo may be kind of new in the phone space, but they're a manufacturer that's, you know, been making other electronics for a long time, and being able to talk to those guys is going to teach CM a lot of stuff. And you know, maybe the first phone isn't going to be, you know, everything you hoped and dreamed of, but the fact that they're going to, you know, we're assuming it's going to launch a phone, you know, the CyanogenMod phone or whatever they want to call it, is pretty crazy. And you know, it's more than we might have expected, you know, ask somebody a year ago or a year and a half ago about what CM's prospects were. It's way above that.
It's going to be interesting to see where it lies in the whole Android ecosystem, mm-hmm. because potentially what you could have, I mean, this isn't going to be exclusive to Oppo, presumably. If you look at the press releases that went out, their goals seem to be far beyond just one manufacturer. So you could have a situation where you have Android and then you have this funny subset of Android that's CM, that's one company, but yet runs officially on lots of different devices from a few manufacturers.
I have seen some stuff today that I can't verify where it came from, so it's just something that Jerry saw, that supposedly is from Oppo, where you will be able to buy a phone that they're going to announce in 3 days, and it will be a standard Oppo phone, you know, just with the same software that Andrew reviewed, but there will be an application you can install, and with the click of a button, it'll reboot itself and it'll run CM.
And that's the other interesting thing, is to talk about a one-click, bulletproof, whatever installer. And
I want Jerry's take on how possible this is for a wide range of devices. If you know
wide range, wide range is going to be tough. But let's start with this Oppo phone. Partnering with Oppo gives Steve and his crew, who I think Alex said it, they know software inside and out. I mean, that's what these guys know. They're Android enthusiasts. They know Android inside and out. Now they will actually have the code they need. They won't have to hack and stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning and drink Red Bulls to try to make it work, because they'll have what they need to do it right. For this Oppo phone, you'll push that button and CM will come, and it will be a CM that you never imagined. Everything they wanted will work. Maybe not perfectly at first, but it will all work. It'll be great.
And the other thing they're talking about is having what they were calling like a bulletproof installer. So something that you download from the Google Play Store, presumably on a rooted handset, that then is essentially an automated installer for CM. And if what you say is true, Jerry, that they're shipping it just with the Oppo software, maybe the way that this is going to work is that you get it with the manufacturer skin, and then maybe also preloaded on there is the CM installer.
That's what they're shooting for with
other manufacturers.
But the CM installer that will be able to download, I think if you've got a phone that's officially supported on a stable build, it should be pretty bulletproof. As long as you meet some requirements, like with an unlocked bootloader, and probably your device is rooted, I'm not going to say it will stay rooted after you run this, because with good reason, they're moving away from root a little bit on CM. Part of that is the Google CTS. You know, you want Google's approval to include their apps. A lot of the stuff you want to do with root is a no-no. But anyway, if you have a Galaxy S3, very well supported, Galaxy S2, superly, you know, supported, I think you're going to be able, if you've unlocked it or can go into download mode, push a button, and when it reboots, you're going to have CyanogenMod with no work.
I think you're right. I think there's still going to be, the technical barrier is going to go from first having to unlock it, then having to deal with, you know, a load of extra hurdles. It's going to go from, do you understand your manufacturer's unlock procedure? If it's yes, right, then from there, the barrier to getting to CM is virtually non-existent.
It would not surprise me, actually, if they do something that totally just blows us away, and like everything we thought of, you know, you might have to do this and then this and this, and like you don't have to do any of that, and it just works. And I mean, that would be awesome. That would be really cool to see.
The best part is, as a corporate entity, there's probably going to be a better level of support than the community support they have now. Those the 10 guys, 15 guys that are the core team, they don't have time to run around to every forum on the internet and hold users' hands. But it, when they're a corporate entity, they're going to have to find a way to make time to support their product. So they will, and in the long run, that helps everybody.
Yep, and that's what they're
raising. I'll be curious why I want an Oppo phone with CM over a Nexus phone with CM. And for some of the reasons we just talked about, I guess. But
you know,
that'll be my question.
I'll want a Nexus phone that runs Google Android and an Oppo phone that runs CM Android. I want them both.
Jerry's not picky.
Well, they're to me, they're very different.
Yep. Let's start cleaning things up, maybe. Sprint, by the way, rolled out its annual upgrade program, which actually, oh, so speaking of my travels today, I'm sitting in the Customs and Border Patrol office, and there's one inside the airport in Atlanta and one outside, like a mile and a half down the road. I was supposed to go to the one a mile and a half down the road. I stopped by the one on my way out, and I'm like, see if you can squeeze me in. If you can't, that's cool. I'll go down where I'm supposed to go, but, you know, figured I'd just check. And so the lady behind the counter didn't actually handle any of that. She was, you know, security guard or whatever, just telling us where to go. But then she starts asking, well, you know, just asking all these weird questions, kind of like, well, why are you here? Why aren't, just go to the place you're supposed to get whatever. And she's like, what do you do for a living? So I tell her, and she gets all interested, asking about the new iPhone, starts telling me how she's on Sprint, she needs to upgrade. And I said, well, actually, Sprint just rolled out their annual upgrade thing, and I haven't looked at it yet because Alex posted it this morning. And if I read it right, $65, that gets you unlimited everything, mm-hmm. plus this annual upgrade deal. That's not bad at all, right?
It's better than what they did before. Mm. They give you a $15 break on your service mm-hmm. if you buy a phone outright over 24 months. You're only getting a $15 break in your service for paying about $25 to $30 extra a month for your phone. Okay. So all it means is you don't have any money down, but I haven't worked out all of the numbers exactly over time, but your monthly bill is still going to be larger than it would have been.
But then the reason it's larger is because after 12 months you can just give them the phone back and get another phone.
Right. So it's the same case as on T-Mobile where in the end, your monthly bill might be a little higher because you're now financing a phone on top of your plan and all that. The only difference with Sprint is it's not clear right now if you can bring your own phone and get this discounted price. You know, if you happen to buy a phone from, you know, Craigslist or eBay or whatever. So that'll be the other angle. But it's definitely more competitive, and it's something good to put a little bit of pressure on Verizon and AT&T. Because Sprint says, hey, your monthly bill goes down if you finance a phone, where AT&T and Verizon don't do that. They just let you finance a phone and keep making you pay that $100 a month.
Right.
Cool.
I mean, those are both pretty terrible deals anyway, right? So that's not
true story.
It's tough competition there.
Well, but you don't, yeah, here it's people still do it anyways.
The subsidy model here in the U.S., Alex, up until T-Mobile did their thing earlier this year, you paid the subsidy even if you didn't get a phone. Your monthly payments did not go down. T-Mobile had a plan that they offered, and then they switched mm-hmm. this year. Now Sprint's doing it. AT&T and Verizon, your move. Start knocking $15-$20 a month off the bill for people that buy their own phones, or you just got showed up by Sprint, and I don't think either one of them want that.
No, and I mean, it's unfortunate because, yeah, I mean, then people have to go use Sprint, I guess, which is not the best situation.
Yeah.
But it is, but when people are shopping and they can look and see those prices, right. That's what matters.
What else?
BBM. If we don't say it, we can't get accused of playing favorites.
We didn't mention it earlier?
We did. Me and Jerry tried it earlier. It's still not working. So, okay. We had a tweet that someone managed to get it working. We both tried it. Still.
Did you try the old build or this new one?
Probably the old one.
Okay. Yeah. No. There's a new leaked build out that BlackBerry's already screaming for people to take down. And apparently that one works. But yeah, BBM comes out Saturday morning. So we'll try it. We'll see.
I think it's going to be the new Facebook home. 5 billion installs, 4,999,000 uninstalls.
Uninstalls. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever happened to Facebook Home, speaking of that?
It's still out there.
Yeah, they're redesigning it or doing something to it to make it a better experience.
Remember, I flew to San Francisco and back over 36 hours to go see that.
The phone wasn't bad.
I've got an HTC First. I just don't use Facebook Home on it.
You guys want to go through the Q&A? We got 4 questions still sitting here from the ones I called. So we've already talked about Oppo and CM. Are any of us going to be at the barbecue?
Yes, I am going to be at the barbecue.
Andrew's going. Mm-hmm. Oh, damn it. No, I did the wrong way. Can I point through Jerry? Nope.
Yeah, I will be there.
I'm excited for you. It's going to be fun. I wish I could go.
It should be good, and it, you know, Texas in October should be nice weather. I'll be barbecues, lots of Android talk. It's not much to complain about there.
No, you're going to like it. And the barbecue is so good, dude. Really.
Ready for it.
All right, let me go through a couple emails real quick as I'm just scrolling down. Christian writes, I'm currently on a Galaxy Nexus, but I'm looking for a new phone. I would love to stay with the Nexus line, but I'm on Verizon. Wah, wah. That was editorializing on my part. I'm currently looking at the Moto X and the HTC One. Battery life is very important to me because I work long days outside, and I don't really have the option to change when necessary. I'm in decent coverage and wouldn't mind putting a battery case like the Mophie on either one. So what do you think? So switching back to the HTC One for a week, it still has good battery life. The Moto X battery life is better. I can say that with some pretty good certainty.
The key word there was Verizon. Droid.
Yeah, Ultra. Droid Max.
Yeah, Max.
Yeah. I mean, you guaranteed that the next Nexus isn't going to be on Verizon. You have a phone, the Droid Max, that is very close to stock and has excellent battery life.
And it'll go a day and a half no matter what you do with it.
Yeah.
It's
got good battery life plus a sickeningly huge battery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, I mean, not physically, but it's very software-wise. It's like the Moto X.
Mm-hmm. But physically, it's not bad. It feels good. It's a little heavy because of that huge battery, but it feels good in the hand, and it does all the same things that the Moto X does.
Luc, LUC from Quebec. I hope I almost pronounced that well, said, I'm an iPhone user and I'm very interested in moving to Android. With the iPhone, I get updates for at least 2 years from Apple from the date I bought my phone. Is there any Android phone maker that does the same thing, or will I be stuck with a phone that will have no updates 6 months after I bought it?
Stop believing everything you read on the internet. The Droid X just got updated.
That's true.
Well, yeah, but
sort of.
Well, but the 2-year-old iPhone doesn't get the same version of software that the new iPhone does.
Right.
The Android manufacturers are bad with security updates, but we should never be buying a phone thinking we're going to get the next version of the software magically installed over the air.
Especially for 2 years.
Right. You don't buy your computer with that in mind. I know the difference is with your computer, you can go buy it and put it in yourself. But the security updates, if you buy a Nexus, you're going to be fine for 2 years.
Mm.
If not, you're rolling the dice, man.
The 2-year thing I've heard applies to Google Play editions as well.
Makes sense.
Like that's actually part of the agreement. So you're probably looking good if you get either of those.
B. Tyndall wrote a few days ago, and again just now, and this will kind of have to go to Andrew. I realize I brought this up last week. There's several variables involved. What is your take on the GPS and FM receiver on the G2 for Verizon?
I think we're
crashing.
We talked about the GPS last week. I've been, like I said, been using it daily, Google Maps, geotagging all of my tweets and Google Plus posts, geotagging photos and videos. GPS works like a charm. I mean, on any Verizon phone, it's a little weird because it likes to do tower triangulation first before it does GPS, but it locks on either way just fine. Haven't used the FM radio. I should test that.
Give that a shot. It sounds like, I mean, just face value, something sounds weird there.
Yeah.
Like maybe there's a connection inside the phone that's on. I mean, I don't know.
Well, right, because nothing... Go ahead, Jerry.
Say, if you've got a Verizon G2 with things on it that aren't working, turn around and walk back into the Verizon store and say, hey, this is not working.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll put one that works in its place, hopefully.
Yeah, I had I had somebody ask me on Google Plus. They said, "Oh, my G2 is having some weird things charging a Verizon G2. Have you had any issues?" And I said, "Just take it back. There's no reason if you know whether it's on contract, off contract. If you went and bought it from a Verizon store, it's supposed to work. So just they'll swap it."
Agreed. I think that's it. I think we're done. I'm glad we did a podcast today, everybody. I don't know about you. Mm-hmm. Hope everybody listening is glad we did one. If you're not, well, don't tell me.
I'm feeling very proud of all of us.
And that's good enough for me. Later on, folks.
If you want to email us, do it at podcast@androidcentral.com. Or even better, I like this Q&A stuff. It's a little clunky, but it works. So you can ask us questions live if you're watching live. As we are every week, we are brought to you by shopandroid.com. You can call them at 888-468-6158. Or that's shopandroid.com. I believe there's a sale still going on through the end of the weekend, by the way. I forget what it is and how much it is, but I think there's one there. So if you get time to swing by, you can save a little, and that's cool. Trying to remember what's coming up that I can talk about. We've got stuff coming up. And we also had, and this is going to be cool. So I'll be in Miami, not next week, but the week after for our big EIC summit, where all the editors get together. And we're going to hang out for a few days and hash stuff out for the next year or so. So if you got anything you really want to see us do, drop me a line.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
I'm writing now.
Yeah.
All of you in Miami, I got lots of things I want to see.
I meant do for the site for the next year, not do in Miami while we're there. So we got that. I got a London trip coming up for some stuff we can talk about when that happens, I guess. What else? Andrew's going to be at the barbecue, which is going to be awesome. Can't wait to see that. Soon.
Russell Hawley and I are doing a talk at the barbecue, too.
Yes.
It should be cool.
I assume that'll be filmed and hangouted and
streamed. I'm assuming it'll be all over the internet in some way.
I think there'll be 900 nerds with Google Glass there.
Multicam shoot there.
Cool. All right, so that's going to do it. I think we will probably have a podcast next week. I don't see any reason, scheduling-wise, why we wouldn't. So hang in there. We'll be back next Friday, probably. Thanks for joining. Thanks for coming. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Jerry, thank you. Alex, thank you.
Thank you.
Andrew, yeah, all right, thank you.
Yeah, okay, sure, whatever.
We love it. Oh, hey, by the way, how was your thing last night? You went to Appy Hour with HTC in Seattle.
It was good. I met a lot of cool people. Met some HTC, put it on down at their offices in Pioneer Square in Seattle.
Oh, and you went to those offices? Nice.
Yep. Beautiful rooftop deck view of the water and all of downtown and everything. So it doesn't get much better than that. Had some pizza and a couple kegs of beer and talked about mobile stuff.
Cool. I like it.
Did you get to meet Iron Man?
No.
Oh.
Sorry. Alright, that's it. We're out. We will see y'all next week. Go download our app if you haven't already, because I haven't pitched that yet, this podcast. Go do it. Go download it now. See ya.
Later on.
Bye.